It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of September. A brain dump Friday, or as some people would call it, the ADD edition of Locked On Jazz. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers. And today we're going to try something new. Hopefully we're making this an experience that makes it better to be a Jazz fan. Do you realize we only have one more week before we have news? And I'm hoping next week that I chat with Matt Harpring, we bring back the summer interview series for one more time. My original hope was to do a kind of get-to-know series on our staff and players and things of that sort, but never could quite get it together. I know there's an interest in that. I'll try to work through it during the season. I think everyone would like to know, like, who's Eric Waters, our trainer, who's Mike Elliott, our performance guy, who, you know, what's Doug Burrell, our incredible masseuse who's been around forever, what's his... And they've got good stories to tell, so we'll see whether or not I can get that done at some point. It just hasn't happened yet. Here's what I want to do today. I don't know that this is the greatest idea ever, but during the week of the NBA, I'm always keeping notes and have stuff there. And then I get to Friday and like I have this incredible brain dump of things. So I want to try something today. It's called a Brain Dump Friday. It's really an ADD edition where I'm just a bunch of things that have been going on during the week. And I wanted that thoughts that I had and things of that nature. And I wanted to share and we'll see how it works. So one of the biggest discussions that's happened, Royce Young and I had it yesterday on Locked On NBA. And I think it's kind of incredible. I thought I want to stop. This was maybe the first brain. Do you realize that we sit here on this show right now and we talk about the Jazz like they're going to be the number one seed in the Western Conference and we don't think anything of it right now? Like I say it all. Yeah, I think there's a chance. Like unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. And yet we're like, it's incredible. It's awesome. And I think it's legitimate. And I look at it all the time and I think, oh my gosh. But like, let's not just kind of minimize this and let it drop off the wayside. And for like the idea that we're going into a season and there's a chance that we're actually the number one seed. Well, like I say it all the time. I say like, oh, I think we could be the Milwaukee Bucks of last year. Like I totally believe that. And there's a lot of like one of the things I really think, I really think that we have been just a incredibly awful offensive team, but that we've done things right with shot selection. Our defense creates offense because so often our offense is starting on a live ball. Like it's, you're about, you know, 6.5 points better per 100 possessions off a live ball than you are off a dead ball. And our defense has been great. So our offense has been in prime position to do good things. And then it's only average. And then you think about the shot quality and it's only average. And you think about the fact that we have perfect shot selection. We have the best shot selection of any team in the NBA, basically, last year. And, or fourth best. I mean, we're top five. And we're still at, like, to me, part of me wonders, like, oh my gosh. In the last few years, had we not been the best defensive team in the league so that our offense was getting the ball in the best position, had not had the best shot selection because of Quinn Snyder's offense, had not had the best shot selection because of the dedication of the coaching staff to get that, we might have just been, like, we might have actually been masquerading as the 24th best offense in the league and been able to get to 15th because we did everything right. Like, I actually believe that. I actually somewhat believe that we were like a 40-win team that won 50 because we just did everything the correct way. Now, that undervalues Rudy a little bit in what he does defensively, so I don't want to totally sell that, but I do kind of believe that. So now we're sitting around talking about, well, we could be the number one seed, which I actually believe we could, because now you start to add in, there's two ways to look at it. One is that we've far exceeded who we are and we're taking an unnatural position at 50 wins and saying, oh, we could go to 55 or 56, which is a mammoth jump. Like that's not just five wins. That's not the same thing as going from 40 to 45, 50 to 55 is totally different. First of all, there's only 32 available and you're grabbing five of them compared to having 40 available and grabbing five of them, right?
But it's just a totally different position. See, this is just a brain dump. So when you look at this, part of me begins to wonder, like, oh my gosh, now that we actually have a good offensive team with an elite level point guard and with Bojan Bogdanović and with Joe Ingles now in his rightful place in the basketball universe and the best rim roller in the league and Donovan Mitchell developing and all these things. And now you think to yourself, well, wait a sec, we get X amount of possessions more every night because people miss shots against us because our defense is so good, and that's 6.5 points better off a live ball, and we get great looks because of our offense, and now we have actually guys that can shoot, and that we do the right things in shot selection. That does make you start to believe you could be the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it's a crazy concept. But it's, I totally kind of believe it. Because I actually think we've been doing incredible stuff without a very, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be too harsh on some of these guys, but yeah, like, I mean, the numbers are hard to deny on, and Ricky was great last week, and and I'm totally ignoring intangibles of Ricky Rubio and Jay Crowder, but I have to tell you what, I know like coaches and general managers and people will think this is stupid. I don't really buy the intangible crap. First of all, I'd buy it in plus. If I was going to buy it anywhere, I would buy it a little bit in the fact that it has an impact on plus minus. Like the fact that if you're always better when he's on the floor, then that tells me something. That's not an intangible, though. That's tangible. That's a data point that I can look at and say, oh, all right, I got it. Like, that's right. Does that make sense? Like, that's not an intangible in any way, shape, or form. That's totally tangible. I can look at plus minus and say, when Jade Crowder was on the floor, we were better. Okay, then that to me has some value. But when I start looking at, you know, and I, you know, you can decide a QSQ, and I try to find, you know, the worst guard shooters in the league last year: DeLon Wright, Lonzo Ball, Ricky Rubio. Like, Ricky Rubio was the third worst shooting point guard in the NBA last year. I look at small power forward or kind of stretch four guys. Trey Lyles was the worst. Al Farouq Aminu was the next worst. Mo Harkless was next. Trevor Ariza, and then Jay Crowder. All right, so we're replacing, you know, there were 15 guys in the league last year who took at least 450 shots, whose quantified shot impact, in other words, the difference between what an average player would do and what they did, was 5 percentage points below. 15 players. Two of them played for us. Two of them played for the Blazers too, by the way. Worth noting that for all the worry about the Blazers, Mo Harkless and Al Farouq Aminu were both in that, and they are both gone. Which I think it's an interesting point of that, for all the times we talk about how we're going to be better, now they added Mario Hezonja, who's like minus 4.9. But it's worth keeping an eye on. By the way, do you want the 15 worst shooters in the league since we're just on a brain dump Friday? Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was the worst. Josh Okogie, Draymond Green, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jonathan Isaac, DeLon Wright, Trey Lyles, Al Farouq Aminu, Kirkus out of Brooklyn, Lonzo Ball, DeAndre Bembry, Tyreke Evans, Ricky Rubio, Mo Harkless, Trevor Ariza, Jay Crowder. All right, so that's the first brain dump. It's like, holy smokes, we're sitting around here talking about us being a number one seed, and it actually feels legit, but I think we've like become commonplace with it, which is insane. Then we get to the next thing, which is, and this gets to the Jazz or Denver. The Jazz have been terrible in clutch play, and Denver has been great in clutch play, and there's no statistical backing at all that those two go together. In fact, there's a neat little note that Memphis was plus 3 in clutch play per season from 2011 to 2016-17. And you could say, well, okay, now we have Mike Conley, we should be that. That's a legitimate discussion, but there really is not a lot of clutch play backing that says 1 year of clutch play leads to the next, which gets me to a really interesting question. If we think we're the number one seed, why isn't Denver? Maybe Denver is. Maybe Denver and Utah are going to be playing for the right to have home court advantage at altitude for the Western Conference playoffs on the final night of the season, while the Lakers, Clippers, and Rockets just prepare for the postseason. We'll talk about it as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. I am driving the Blazer. They had to switch out my last Blazer. I had a white one that was great, and then they actually sold it. So now I have a black one that's a little bit more souped up. Pretty cool. All the cameras around it are amazing. Gosh, the technology in new cars. Blake Murdoch was laughing with me about, like, I'm the greatest car guy ever because we traded in 200,000 mile cars for 150,000 mile cars, and then I got associated with Murdoch, and now I'm driving new cars, and I think they're the greatest things ever. But this Blazer is really cool. Murdoch Chevy is located in Woods Cross, also up in Logan. Ben's doing a great job there with those. Casey's the new general manager at the Murdoch Chevy store and in Woods Cross, and they have got great, great things going on for you. But this Blazer is worth checking out. The old legendary Blazer is back, looking cool. Plus, you got the Colorado truck, the Silverado truck. Those are the best in the business. The Colorado's the smaller one. The Silverado is, I call it the lazy boy of trucks. Like, these guys think they're big and tough because they're in these big trucks. The fact is they're sitting in a lazy boy in, like, the most comfortable thing you've ever driven. And then there's the great sedan line as well. And when you know Chevy, you know the Tahoe and all the great, and the Suburban. And now they have the Blazer and the Equinox for you as well in the SUV lineup. So make sure you check it all out. It is out at Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch's and Utah have been together for 90 years. Chevy and the USA are connected together. It all goes into one big Murdoch, Utah, USA, Chevy. That's what it's all about, and it's at Woods Cross. If you are looking to make your DirecTV, your AT&T, your mobile experience better, go to Stealth Media. Eric Ellis and the guys over there have got it set up for you. DirecTV and AT&T together. It's a way for you to get the best coverage, save money, and take it on the go without using data. Call Eric at 385-399-4186. Here's the deal. You can get your DirecTV and your AT&T together. It's on the go. Take it with you. 72-hour rewind on your DVR. And here's the thing. Sunday NFL ticket for free. Call right now. 385-399-4186. Get the NFL season DirecTV Sunday ticket for free. Eric's got a $100 gift card for you as well if you tell him you're the Locked On Jazz. So when you call 385-399-4186, that's 385-399-4186. Make sure you do that. And the cool thing Eric has done to help out your experience even more is Stealth Media's got the big man cave TV, 65-inch, 85-inch, 105-inch. I don't even know if 105-inch exists. I'm sure it does. They've got those for you at better prices than you can get anywhere else with Best Buy or anywhere else. So make sure you give Eric a call at Stealth Media, 385-399-4186. Hey, the clouds just lifted and there is snow on the mountains. All right, so here's the next one. For all this talk about the Jazz, Denver was great last year. And I have been downplaying Denver a little because of the following items. One, I thought they started unnaturally well last year on a soft schedule, used that as momentum to drive them. And in turn, they had this kind of defensive prowess and they had this essence to them. And they were also playing with this kind of chip on their shoulder of missing the playoffs by a game. So I do think the other area where I have downplayed Denver a tiny bit is the clutch numbers. I just don't think it's sustainable. So last year, Denver was unbelievable in the clutch. 5 minutes left in a game, within 5 points, and some of the numbers are unnatural. Denver was 31-15. They exceeded by 6 games what your natural would do. The Clippers did the same thing, by the way. Denver's offense in the clutch, it wasn't that they were 16th. They were great. Their defense was ridiculous. Their defense and the Clippers' defense was so great. It was 95.3. That's just not who Denver is. Like, I think Denver's really good, but I don't think that they're not. And the reason is because opponents from three, now maybe Denver's figured something out here, shot 20% from three against them. Seems unlikely to be sustainable when the league average is 32 in clutch. So I think those reasons have Denver, to me, they were great last year, but maybe they don't quite jump the same way. And I also think that there's a team chemistry issue there a little bit with the fact that Malik Beasley's ready to go and Gary Harris had a bad year last year, is going to be much better. But they were a 54-win team last year. Do I think they're going back to? I'm not sure. Here's what I actually think. I think they're probably a 55, 56, 57-win team this year. And the things I said are going to bring them back to 53, 54, which might be enough to win the West. 57 did last year. I think Gary Harris is going to have a much better season than he did last year. Gary Harris is really good. And Gary Harris, frankly, wasn't very good last year. And I think, while team chemistry-wise, that could be a little tough. You look at Gary Harris's career, Gary Harris, three-point shooting, 40%, 42% the last 2 years, and then all of a sudden last year, 34%. That he was beat up. Now, he's got a games played issue, 57, 67, 57, we'll keep an eye on. But I think he gets a lot better. Does Jamal Murray get a little bit better? He is an inefficient player at this point in his career. And they have one of the great 10 players in the league. You know, if you think Jokic and Gobert to me are very similar, they both impact the game dramatically. Jamal Murray will be interesting to watch. He is a fourth year in the league. Last year was his jump year. Those players usually, same thing for Donovan, year two to year three, should have their jump. He did it ever so slightly. But his efficiency didn't increase. But he's really good, and his playoffs were great. So I like Denver an awful lot. I actually think Denver and you, this is what's crazy, is I think Denver and Utah very easily, with Houston, end up battling for the number one spot. Because I think Houston will be very good. I think James Harden's that great. And then you end up with either the Lakers, probably the Lakers, not having home court advantage in the first round. So I'm telling you, a team with two of the top 10 players in the NBA ends up, now this is all my thoughts. This weekend I'm going to try, daughter's got a golf tournament, we're going to travel, but on the road I'm going to try to plug in a bunch of numbers. The other one on Denver that I think will dictate their season is last year they finished 10th in the league defensively. I don't know what I think about, you know, I like whole season numbers, but if I just were to take the season at January 1 of last year and take Denver from January 1 of last year to, you know, now, or, you know, the end of the season, and look at their defensive rating, they slip to 13th. They become average. I think they're probably average, not top 10 defensively. And it's hard, unless they're going to be the number one offensive team in the league, which they might, if Gary Harris is good, then they're keeping on. The team that no one's talking enough about is Portland. From January 1 on last year, Portland was the number one offense, tied with Golden State for the number one offensive team in the league, right? Golden State, Portland, and Houston were virtually tied. And they had two of the worst offensive players in the game. Right? I mean, I think it'll be really interesting to run the numbers on Portland and see where they come out. Because they certainly, you know, they lost athleticism, they lost these various things. Yeah, they lost two terrible shooters. And the league is largely about shooting. I feel a little bit, you have to keep your logic consistent. I wish we would do this in politics too. The issue to me is, like, if I believe Donovan Mitchell's going to be better than space, then I better believe Russell Westbrook's going to be better in space. If I believe the Jazz are going to be better because they got rid of two bad shooters, I better believe Portland's going to be better. So, we'll see. Those are my two biggest brain dump things. I got some random brain dump things. The other one I'm really mystified about, by the way, on this, as we look at these things, is Golden State. We'll talk about that. Like, that's it. By the way, have you watched the WNBA playoffs yet? That Mystics Ace series is really good. And the other one is the scores. Like, the game, 103-91 in a short game. I mean, the Sparks Suns was a blowout, 94-68. But the Mystics and the Ace were probably two of the best teams. 103-91 in a 40-minute game. Like, that's fun basketball. Go grab it. Take a second. It won't harm you. You won't be less of a person because you actually watched a women's sporting event. You'll be okay. No, I'm really, you will. I'm serious. Oh, smile. Lighten up, Francis. Stripes reference, I'm old. Hey, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. I'm actually wearing a Mack Weldon shirt right now as we speak. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world in Utah. It's fun to see it take place. I didn't know this, by the way. I found out that Utah actually has now equaled Seattle for the most kind of unicorn companies out there that are, you know, billion-dollar companies they're building up. I'm not saying Homey is, but it tells you just kind of the innovation that we have going on here in Utah, and Homey is part of that innovation. You've seen those funny, bright teal billboards around town, and you've heard me talk about Homey selling your home for you, which they do for just $1,500, which is awesome. They also can buy any home for you. So when you choose a Homey agent, you get them, they'll do all the things. They'll help you find your house, tour homes for you, make offers, negotiate the best deals, and then give you $5,000 back at the end of it. Go to Homey.com, request a tour of any home for sale with a click of a button. Your dedicated Homey agent will meet you there in person. A lot of people think it's free to buy a home, but it's actually not. You give up a bunch of the money. So Homey is returning $5,000 to you at the end of the process. Text 88588. Text LOCK to 88588. Text LOCK to 88588 and find out more about Homey and how they can do things for you. Are the Golden State Warriors going to be good? So, on one end, the Golden State Warriors, to me, have Steph Curry, and so this whole thing, like, Steph Curry is so great. His offensive efficiency is so great that they're going to be good. D'Angelo Russell is not that great. Draymond Green is that great. And then is there a team that has a worst fourth player? Right? So the fourth best player on the Warriors is Kevon Looney? Willie Cauley-Stein? McKinney? Like, is there a team with a worst fourth player? So the Jazz fourth best player is maybe Bojan Bogdanovic? The Lakers fourth best player is Kyle Kuzma? It's not great, but it's better than what we're talking about. I look at the Lakers. Lakers are starting Rajon Rondo, Danny Green, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard, and JaVale McGee with Kuzma, Caldwell-Pope. It's not bad. Like, it's pretty good, I guess. The Rockets' fourth best player is Eric Gordon. Denver's fourth best player is Gary Harris, who's really good. The Clippers' fourth best player is... good question, actually. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, probably one of those. Like, that's where Golden State just lack of depth, but damn, Steph Curry is good. So that's a brain dump I have, I keep trying to figure out. Crazy story in the LA Times this week about Kawhi Leonard looking at the list of players the Clippers gave him and saying, I want Paul George. The Clippers literally giving Kawhi Leonard a list of players. Then Doc Rivers reveals that they knew that the Thunder were looking to break that team up, so they thought they could get the deal done. I was listening to the Real GM podcast with Danny LaRue, the one I do with Adam Ottis for the Midwest Division Northwest Division preview, and I was listening to Kevin Pelton, Ben Golliver Pacific Division preview, which is very good. Danny, you can send me a check. And Pelton points out that there's never been a trade. Like, where was the moment in that trade where the Clippers were going to say no? Like, everyone's talking about the Thunder getting this incredible amount of talent. Is there a chance that the Thunder actually didn't get enough? Because there was actually no single way out there in which they were ever going to say no. Kind of it, right? All right, brain dump. Do you like Brain Dump Friday? J.J. Redick had a quote the other day when talking with Zach Lowe. About the Clippers team, and we've talked about this before, but that Clippers team in retrospect is really interesting. I mean, they've done a 30 for 30 on the whole Donald Sterling thing, but the whole internal turmoil and how you remember Chris Paul because of this. We had a chance to win, said J.J. Redick, and there were all these little cracks and fractures, and we didn't address them the way we should have. We didn't repair, and we didn't address them the way we should have. You know, it's interesting. What are those cracks and fissures? Is it DeAndre Jordan? Is it Blake Griffin? Is it J.J. Redick? Is it Chris Paul? Is it all of them? And where does Doc fall? Like, Doc's one of the great coaches in the league, and he's definitely, it makes me wonder a little bit if Doc is a momentum coach. And what I mean by that is when things are going right and going in the right direction, is Doc, you know, got the momentum going, puts the money in the ceiling, does all of that with the Boston Celtics, has that team last year with the underperforming and they're able to get it rolling and they end up making this big, step with this underperforming team. Well, there he had the most talent in the league and they could get it going and they had a disaster. And also it does, I do think it alters Chris Paul's career and what we think of Chris Paul. I think that's becoming clear. It didn't work in Houston, didn't work in LA. Now he's going to be in OKC. We'll see where he gets traded to. So I think that's real. I love the quote this week from Daryl Morey. See, I just write these things down. I have them all on a piece of paper, and then they go by the wayside, and we never get back to them. So now it's Brain Dump Friday. Daryl Morey was asked about load management. This is the most truthful comment about load management. If we start 7-11 again, there won't be any load management. So true. And I'm not sure that the science on load management is there. And I'm not sure that I know the difference between a player playing 5 minutes versus less a game versus sitting a game out. I don't know that science is out there that we know the answer to that. But I love that quote by Daryl Morey. If we start 7-11, there'll be no load management. Tampering is the big thing that's out there right now. All these rules are going to go in. I actually find myself in probably on an island here. I actually find myself on the other side of this. Like, you and I have jobs. And if a company wants us to go work for them and they pursue us and we think it's a better place to work, then we go there and we work for them. And to some extent, this whole thing about tampering takes the onus to me off the franchises to just creating a great environment. Now, that's not saying that Toronto didn't create a great environment when they lost Kawhi Leonard. And, I mean, I guess tampering can, the bigger issue is whether it ruins an entire season in some capacity. But I think that there is, I don't know how you control tampering. I get very nervous anytime you put in a policy that you can't hold up. And I also just wonder, if someone, people are going to be pursuing Donovan Mitchell in every way, shape, or form, and he's going to know it, and our job is to have a good enough situation for him that he wants to stay. And it might not matter what we do, because maybe at some point Donovan decides, I want to go play somewhere else, and that's his right. So I think this tampering thing is weird, because I can't really figure out what we're preventing. I can't really figure out how the league is actually going to control it. And I don't think the league really wants to police it. And my last and final thought, which is definitely contrary, is who cares? If the Phoenix Suns have Devin Booker and they've done a terrible job with Devin Booker, tampering or no tampering is not going to prevent him from leaving. All right, that's my brain dump Friday. One other really important note this week is that the Rockets had Nene on a $10 million contract that they were trying to use as a trade chip, and the league ruled that $7.4 million of it is bonuses, so now it's only a $2.6 million trade chip, which makes getting Andre Iguodala for them more difficult. Iguodala is still out there. We haven't talked about him as a possibility for Utah. Denver's talked about him. Maybe we should. I don't know what it would mean. It probably would mean Dante, just salary-wise, right? Iguodala's about $11 million. Dante's $11 million. I don't know if you're willing to do that. I'm not sure I am, but we haven't talked about that at all, so we probably should at some point in time. But it's interesting. Houston, I think a lot of people thought that's where Iguodala would end up. They just lost that trade chip. It's going to be much more difficult for them to get that done. All right, that is a Friday brain dump. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're a week away from Media Day and all the rest. Have a great weekend. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tell your smart device to play Locked On NBA and get the national show next.